Thank you very much indeed for those messages and song. And again, we know the Lord will bless them to all of our hearts. Now, if you've got your Bible with you tonight, we're reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Reference has been made in the hymn, one of the hymns that we've been singing already, to the place called Gethsemane. And, of course, that is where the Lord needed his disciples so much, and that's where they failed him so much. He needed them in that hour of greatest crisis to be praying for him, yet on three occasions he comes to them in the garden, and he finds them asleep. He did tell them to watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation, but Peter fell asleep. So you can trace Peter's backsliding. And the fact that he denied the Lord and began to curse and swear. And it all leads back into Gethsemane, where he failed to watch and pray. But we are going to break into the chapter for sake of time. The Savior had come to the disciples. Three occasions they had slept when they should have been praying. But in verse 45 of Matthew 26 it says, "Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Heal, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Ending at verse 50, God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just bow together and lift our hearts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again this night for the messages and song that have been brought to us and for the hymns that we have been singing together. And we can say already it's been good for us to be here. But we thank thee for the fellowship of God's people and for the fellowship of thy Spirit, for fellowship with yourself. And we thank thee for the gospel, this message which is so, so very old, yet so always very new. And we ask that you will make old truth to live anew in our hearts, that this night there will be a coming and a calling upon the name of the Lord. We pray for each head that's bowed in your presence. You know the need of each heart. You know what brings each one here this evening. And we are glad there is a corresponding fullness in Christ to meet the need of every life. We ask that your word will find an abiding place in each heart, that you will bring conviction of sin to bear upon each life, that you'll draw men and women and young people irresistibly by thy Spirit, that they might rejoice in the Savior this evening. Help us to lift up Christ, to rightly divide the Scriptures, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn to the verse 50, the very last verse that we read together in our portion of Scripture tonight, to form the words of our text. where Jesus said to Judas Iscariot, "Wherefore hast thou come?" And those are very, very important words. Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Now those words, of course, were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ while the sweat of Gethsemane was still very fresh upon his brow. He looks into the face of Judas and he says, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Now the word "friend" is literally translated in the original text as "dear friend." And Jesus literally said on that occasion to the one who had come to betray him, "Dear friend, wherefore hast thou come?" Now when you and I use the word "friend" or "dear friend," then we are using a term of endearment, and we are using a term of affection. You and I can only but try, very, very faintly indeed, to imagine how Judas's betrayal must have pierced deeply into the heart of the Son of God. You and I know from experience, and the Bible also teaches it, that there is no friend or no wound like the wound of a friend. There's no one can hurt you like a friend can hurt you. There's no one who can wound you like a friend. And David the psalmist, he cried out on one occasion that he was wounded in the house of his friends. And on this occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was wounded in the house of his friends. It was his friends who fell asleep when he needed them to be praying for him and watching, because he knew that they were coming to arrest him. And it was one of those who were numbered amongst the 12 that actually betrayed him with a kiss. And yet as he comes to betray him, Jesus says, "Dear friend, wherefore hast thou come?" Now those are very, very significant words and very important words. And of course they are very powerful and personal and pointed, because Jesus looked into the face of Judas and said, "Dear friend, wherefore hast thou come?" And that's the question that I want to leave with you tonight. Wherefore hast thou come to this meeting? Why have you come to this meeting tonight? That's the question. Why have you come to this mission night after night? And as we look at that question, I want to challenge your heart with three simple thoughts. Because the Bible tells us, of course, that you and I can never stand neutral religiously. And we have come to do something with the Savior tonight. That might not have been your intention when you were making ready at home to come to this meeting. Maybe you're coming because a friend invited you to come. Maybe you're coming to keep a promise. Maybe you're coming for your family's sake. Maybe you're coming to put in an appearance. Maybe you're coming feeling others would say, "Oh, he or she, they never bothered to come to the gospel mission." But over and beyond that, there is the sovereign hand of the Almighty God that has arranged the events of your day and ordered it that you would be in this meeting this night. I will go further. and say, God in His sovereignty, even before you were ever born or saw the light of day, God so organized in a way back in the past councils of eternity that you'd be in this meeting tonight and you will do something with Jesus Christ. Friend, wherefore hast thou come tonight? Can I ask you, first of all, have you come to receive the Savior? We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 11, that Jesus came to His own, and His own received Him not. They did not want the Savior in their community. They did not want their Savior even in their country. And they did not want the Savior in their homes. And they did not want Him personally in their lives and in their hearts. And they were foolishly happy to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Even at Bethlehem, the shutters were up and the sign was up. No room in the inn. They had no room for the person of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're such an individual this evening. You have room for pleasure. You have room for business. But for Christ the crucified, there's not a place that He can enter in your heart for which He died. You have room for everybody and everything. But you have no room and no time for God and God's Son and God's salvation. Many of the Jews in Jesus' day had no place for the Savior. In fact, He said to them, "Ye would not come unto Me." Then on another occasion He said, "And ye will not come unto Me." And then on another occasion He said, "Ye cannot come." And those are very, very searching words. He stands gazing over the city of Jerusalem. He beholds it in His sin. And He sees those people in their heart rejecting His offer of mercy. And He cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together, as a hen would gather her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Now I dare to say that this is not the first gospel mission that you've attended. This is not the first gospel meeting that you have been in. You have heard the word of God. "O Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee." You have heard God's word, and yet you've never opened your heart to embrace the Christ of God. The unbelieving Jews would not receive the Son of God. They put up the fists of their heart in rebellion against Him. And just as we were speaking on last night, like the fool, they said in their heart, "No God." Is this you we're talking about? You continually lift the fists of your heart in rebellion against God, and you do not deny the existence of God, but what you actually say in your heart, "No God, not in my life, I'm not getting saved." A gospel mission took place in the town of Rathfriland. That's like the city set on a hill. And the gospel appeal was given. And a man and his wife had been coming to the meetings night after night. And when the invitation was given on the closing Friday night of that mission, that man put his hand up to indicate that he wanted to give his life to Jesus Christ. But just as he put it up, his wife caught him by the arm and pulled it down. When the meeting was over, he was going out of the door, he and his wife. And, of course, it was said to him about his desire to indicate his need and desire to seek the Lord. And just as quick as a flash, His wife stepped in and she spoke up and said, it's just like this. He'll not be getting saved. There was someone standing in the way. Maybe tonight there's somebody standing in your way. And I don't care how dear and how precious that friend is to you or that company. If they keep you out of God's heaven and drag you into God's hell, it'll be the costliest company you've ever had in your life. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, and you should receive the Savior. And of course, don't listen to the devil's lie, because he's going to say, now if you get saved, what about tomorrow? What about your friends? What about your workplace? How are you going to keep it? But God says, as many as receive him, to them gives he power. That is the right, that is the authority to become the sons of God. I don't know if you've ever read anything about Billy Bray. If you haven't, you should. Billy Bray was a very, very poor man. In fact, he had nothing in this world. He was a tin miner by trade. And he was a notorious sinner. He had a vile tongue. Every other word was a curse word. And then one day, miraculously, God saved Billy Bray. And you know, he went about testifying and preaching, telling people about their need of the Lord. And you know, people knew him in his past life. And when they heard him then testify to the grace of God, they couldn't believe it. And those who didn't know him, they used to say to him, who in the world are you anyway? And he would always come back quickly with the answer. And he wouldn't have been dressed in nice clothes, not at all. He had barely a shirt to put in his back. And he used to say, me? Who am I? Do you not know me? Sure, I'm the king's son. And you see, that's what God does to those who will receive him. He gives him the power to become the sons of God. My, he says, when I got saved and received Christ into my life, I was a new man in a new world. He says, as I walked down the road, when I lifted one leg, it shouted hallelujah. When I lifted the other leg, it shouted amen. I was so full of the joy of the Lord. I had such a wonderful experience of God in my life. He said, the world was a new world to me. Like someone else I heard testifying, he said, I rejected Christ for so long. And then one night I opened my heart and received the Savior. And he said, everything became new. And I went out and the countryside was full of dandelions. And you know something? He said, when I got saved, they looked like orange lilies. Everything had taken on a whole new appearance, a whole new change. My friend, if you receive the Savior tonight, you'll be a new person in a new world. And you'll have a new power in your life, and a new joy, and a new peace. You'll have God's forgiveness, and the past will be gone. And every sin that you've ever committed, even sins you've long forgotten about, will be forever put in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You know, Zacchaeus was one of the most notorious sinners of his day. And he was only a wee wart of an individual. He couldn't see Jesus because of the multitude of people. And to see Jesus, he had to climb up into a tree. And he thought up the tree the Savior wouldn't see him. But amazingly, there he is sitting perched up a tree. And the Savior comes along and stops right under the very branch that Zacchaeus is sitting on. And he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus. Oh, what thoughts must have went through Zacchaeus' mind that day. He must have thought, for the first time, Jesus knows me. He's calling me by my name. And friend, I want to tell you tonight, Jesus knows you. And He knows you by your name. And He knows the thoughts you think. He knows the words you speak. He knows the life you live. He knows what you're doing with Jesus Christ. He knows if you're trampling His blood under your feet. And He said, Zacchaeus, come down. Not only did he realize Jesus knew him, but he must have realized for the first time that Jesus wanted him. And I can tell you tonight on the authority of the Bible that Jesus wants you. He wants you to give up your sin and flee to Him. But this man was a notorious sinner. And Jesus said, I must abide at your house today. And when Jesus went into his house, what did the people say? They said of Christ that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Sinners identified Zacchaeus as a big sinner. And I don't care what a man's sin is tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. My friend, if you come to the meeting tonight to receive the Savior, I trust you have. You can go out and be a new creature in a new world. For everything will be different. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Friend, wherefore hast thou come tonight? Have you come to receive the Savior? The Bible says of Zacchaeus, he came down and received Jesus joyfully. That's what you should do. You should come and with joy receive Jesus Christ into your heart. But secondly, have you come to reclaim the Savior? Wherefore hast thou come, sinner? You need to come tonight and receive the Savior. Wherefore hast thou come, backslider? You need to come and reclaim the Savior. Is there someone in this meeting tonight, and once you walked with God, and once you went to the house of God with joy and gladness in your heart, your soul was delighted to be amongst the people of God, but somehow, somewhere, it's all gone wrong? You know well, I'm sure, the story of Joseph and Mary. They'd been up to Jerusalem with Jesus when he was but a boy. And when they were on their way back home, they discovered after a day's journey that Jesus is not there. Now, it would have been easy, you might say in your heart, well, how could they go so far and not realize the boy Jesus is not there? You have to understand that in those situations, the women would have left Jerusalem in a group, headed on away before the men. Then the men would have followed on later. But when Joseph would have caught up with Mary, they discovered, lo and behold, Jesus is not with Mary, and Jesus is not with Joseph. And they lost his company and lost fellowship with him. Is this how it is in your heart? They supposed him to be in the company. They took it for granted. Like Samson. The Bible says he went out as at other times, and wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Maybe I'm talking to someone tonight, and you used to read God's Word, but you're not reading God's Word anymore. You used to pray, but you're not praying anymore. And your heart has drifted into a backslidden state. Or the Bible says of Peter that he followed afar off. Then what you're doing tonight, my friend, you have a love for this church. You have a love for the preacher of this church. You have even a love for the people of this church. But do you have a genuine love for the Christ of this church? Or are you following afar off? Are you backslidden in your heart? Maybe there's someone here, and as a child you give your heart to Jesus, but you're not walking with Him tonight. As a teenager you give your life to Christ, but then you went to grammar school, you went to high school, you went to university, you fell in with company, they took you away from the Savior, and tonight you're away out in Bypath Meadows. My friend, have you come to reclaim the Savior? That's what the backslider must do. He must come and reclaim the Savior. We have a very wonderful hymn in our hymn book. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Then it says, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it from Thy courts above. Robert Robison's great hymn. It's the hymn that Robert Robison wished he'd never written. When that man wrote that hymn, his heart was on fire for God. And he loved the Lord with all his heart. But then one day he turned away from the things of God and went down the backslider's pathway. Climbed into a tree and one day, making a journey, looked for a seat, and the only seat he could see was beside an elderly lady. And there she was sitting in her Bible in her hand. She didn't know who he was, and he had no idea who she was. And there was little conversation between them. Then the woman said, you know, there's something I'd like to share with you. I got a real blessing in my soul this morning. She said, you know, I was reading a wonderful hymn. And we have so many wonderful hymns. She says, I'd just like to share it with you. And she said, oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Isn't that wonderful? Daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee. She said to the stranger, isn't that beautiful? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it from Thy courts above. Oh, she said, I was so blessed through those words. And then she looked at the guy. And there he was with tears streaming down his face. And he said, dear woman, I'm the miserable man that wrote the hymn.
And maybe you used to come to the prayer meeting and you used to pray and you used to plead and you used to cry that God would save souls. And maybe you used to even teach in the Bible class, or maybe you taught in the Sunday school, or you helped in the open air. You did something in the work of God. But tonight, where are you, my friend? Have you come to this meeting to reclaim the Savior? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is this soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? Maybe somewhere along the line, you've been disappointed. You've been discouraged. You've been defeated. Maybe you've been dispirited. But tonight your harps hung on the willow. The Emmaus Road disciples, remember they were going down the road to Emmaus. What had they done? They were going down in a backslidden state. Jesus had been crucified, and they turned their back and dispirited. They turned their back on Jerusalem and headed for Emmaus. And then the Savior drew alongside and He talked with them. Opened to them the Scriptures and revealed Himself to them. And their hearts did burn within them. And do you know what they did? The next day they turned round and went back to Jerusalem. That's what you need to do, backslider. You need to turn around. You need to turn back. They had to go back to Jerusalem from whence they had come. Joseph and Mary had to turn back. They had to go back to Jerusalem where they lost out with the Savior. And my friend, you've got to turn back and you've got to go back to the cross and you've got to make a new beginning. You've got to reclaim the Savior. And my friend, if you come back, you'll find, as the prodigal found, the Father's waiting. He said, I'll arise and go. And the Bible says he arose and went. And his father saw him afar off. And he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And he gave him the best robe. And he gave him a ring which is the symbol of sonship. And gave him shoes. That is a standing again before God. My friend, all you have lost can be regained. If you'll come and reclaim the seat. Sinner, you've got to come and receive Christ. Backslider, you've got to come and reclaim the Savior. And lastly, wherefore hast thou come? Have you come to receive Him? Have you come to reclaim Him? Or have you come to reject Him? Oh, that's what Judas Iscariot did that day. He came to reject the Savior. He came to betray the Savior. He came to sell the Savior. And sadly, so many rejected. Maybe you're one of those people. You've come in, you've enjoyed the singing in the meetings. You've enjoyed the atmosphere. But you've gone out night after night rejecting the Savior. Hymn writer says, our Lord is now rejected. And by the world disowned. By the many still neglected. Are you one of these people? The Jews, they rejected Him at His incarnation. There was no room for Him in the inn.
always a serious thing to reject the Savior.
But you say, if I receive Him, what will people think? What will people say? My friend, I do not know. I cannot tell you tonight what they will think or what they will say. They might laugh at you. But I can tell you that in Proverbs 1 and 26, the Bible says this. God is speaking. He says, I will laugh when their calamity comes upon them, and I will mock at their fear. You're afraid that people would laugh at you. You're afraid that people would make a jest and a joke of your coming to Christ. But oh, what a day when you stand before your Creator, and you stand there in your sin, and you hear the echo of God's laugh ringing out down through the corridors of hell. God laughing at your final rejection. That's the day the gentle Jesus, meek and mild, will become the God of awful wrath.
What have you been doing with Christ?
You wouldn't call your child by the name Judas.
You doing what Judas did? When the people cried out for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ,
they wanted the world to know what they were doing. They said, away with him, crucify him.
And Pilate then said, what shall I do? Now there's people in this meeting. They will get up, walk out in their sin, and reject Jesus Christ. But what will you do? It always comes down to what you will do. And then one day it will come down to what will Jesus do with you.
You can either receive him tonight, you can either come and reclaim him tonight, or you will reject him.
But there can't be neutrality. Friend, wherefore have you come tonight? Let me just close with this thought. Have you come to receive him? Have you come as a backslider to reclaim him? Have you come to reject him? Or have you come to resell him? Judas had a price on Christ. It was 30 pieces of silver. It was the price of a slave.
And he sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. What price do you put on the Savior? What price do you put on your soul?
You know, Herod in the Bible sold the Savior for a person, and thereby sold his soul to hell.
He was living with his brother Philip's wife. And John the Baptist said, you can't do this. This is wrong. This is sin.
And Herodias, the Bible says, would have killed him. And you know something? Herodias did kill him.
Because Herodias had a daughter He grew up in the ways of the world, could present her body that would appeal to the baser lusts of sinful men. And she came in before the drunken monarch and danced and presented herself in such a way that he said to her, whatever you ask of me, I'll give it unto you, even you ask the half of my kingdom. And she could have went out the wealthiest young woman in her generation, but she didn't. She said to her mother, what shall I ask? Here's the opportunity that her mother looked for. She said, no, don't ask for his gold, his land, or his silver. Ask for the head of John the Baptist. And the Bible says the king was exceeding sorry, but because of his oath and those that sat with him, he would not reject her. And he sold his soul to hell for the fear of man. What would they think of the great Herod, who said to the girl, whatever you ask, I'll give it. Now he's backing up on his word.
And they beheaded John in prison. Maybe there's someone in your life if you come to Christ tonight, you feel you're going to lose that person. Would you rather go to hell with that person? Go to heaven with the Savior. I'll tell you something else, friend. If you want to get your friend into heaven, you need to be getting yourself in there first. And very often, if you were to take that step of faith, then how quickly others would follow. Of course, Pilate, he sold the Savior not only not for the person, but for popularity.
You see, it was the crowd who were crying, crucify. These were the very people that were keeping him in his position as a Roman governor. The Bible says he knew that for envy they had delivered him. The Bible says that Pilate said, I find no fault in this man.
Yet he crucified the Son of God. A man who knew what was right, but did what was wrong. That you tonight.
You know what's right.
But you keep doing what is wrong, and that is rejecting Jesus Christ. He sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. What are you selling your soul for tonight? A little bit of enjoyment, as you think?
Oh, friend, you need to come tonight and receive this Savior. He'll give you a life that's worth the living. He'll give you friends that's worth having. And he personally will be a friend that loveth at all times. And he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Backslider, you need to come and reclaim the Savior.
You'll never be happy in the world, having tasted the good things of God. But if you come to reject him, selling your soul, and I encourage you to come tonight. Friend, ask yourself, why am I here tonight? And in that you are here, what now are you going to do with Jesus? I can only encourage you to receive him and to reclaim him. And do it now. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you again this night for the gospel of your dear Son.
We thank you for the Christ who died for us and rose for our justification. The one who stands at the bar of our conscience would save us and save us gladly. And, O God, we ask tonight that sinners will come and receive you. Backsliders will come and reclaim you. But, O, forbid that any should reject you. And just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are shut, our meeting is over in a moment. My friend, you have a decision to make. You going to receive this Savior? Backslider, are you going to reclaim this Savior? But oh, tell me, you're going to reject this Savior. And what if he should then reject you? Come. Come to him tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes shut, we're singing our little invitation verse. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. If you come as a backslider, he'll forgive you freely. He's married to the backslider. If you come as a sinner, he'd gladly save you. What will you do? If you feel we can help you spiritually, why not slip your hand up while we sing this little invitation verse? And when others go away, we'd love to show you God's simple plan of salvation, how you can be saved, how you can be sure. But friend, whatever you do this night, don't reject the Savior.